superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Sam Darnold took a sack that he didn't need to take and got thrown down on his throwing shoulder.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The New York Jets have broken Sam Darnold.
Heard nationwide, televised online.
You may have a new coach before the end of the season.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I love Adam, but, you know, it's not my decision to make.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Las Vegas Raiders radio voice Brent Musburger, Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick. Coming up, NBC horse racing analyst Eddie Olchek. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on a Friday. Great chats with Daniel Jeremiah, Brent Musburger, Brian Billick already in the books. Check it all out on our Peacock page. That's exactly where you're going to have to check us out. From now on, watching us on TV, we're going to give you a tutorial. If you've missed the first couple of hours, we've already given it. We'll give you a tutorial on how to find Peacock if you need to find us there. Well, if you want to find us there. And you do, I guess, when you find us there, right? Yeah. When you look for us in
Absolutely.
Peacock. It's easy. It's free. And how to find us there is something. If you need that help, we've already posted the video on our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show. We will also play it for you one more time in this hour, in which you also get the following. An opportunity to chat with us, 844-204-RICH. You will also get Chris Brockman's news update. There is some injury news, or the latest, on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Don't get me started. Okay, so that's coming up.
Oh, no.
Also, in this hour, Chris Brockman's sneaky good games. He's going to try and win you some hard-earned American cash with his thoughts on football and how to place certain funds in certain places. I, however, don't stoop to that level. I'll just tell you three games that are under the radar that you keep an eye on, as well as my unluckiest lock of the week, where I'm just giving you this feeling that I think there's an upset coming. That's how we're going to roll the rest of this hour. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. But first, to help us make hard-earned American cash, a man who just called the Stanley Cup Finals from the bubble in Edmonton, and tomorrow returns to handicap horse racing on the Preakness Stakes. That's Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC. The final jewel of the Triple Crown. It's wild. It went Belmont, Kentucky Derby,
crazy.
And now on October 3rd,
crazy
Preakness Stakes. None other than Eddie Olchek. How are you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me. And hopefully the Rams over the Giants on Sunday is one of your plays on Sunday. I'm not sure if it is.
Okay,
I'll just throw that one out there.
Okay, I'll bite. Where did that one come from, Eddie? What do you like?
Just talking. Look at we're talking about making a little extra money, and
okay.
We got horses tomorrow. We got baseball today. We got we got everything going on. So we got our we have a plethora of opportunities in all walks. So we got the equine athletes tomorrow at Pimlico for the Preakness, as you mentioned,
yep.
And then we got the National Football League on Sunday. So hopefully we'll be able to nice little daily double. Maybe give the winner of the Preakness, and then if people want to get their feet wet on the Rams, then we'll try to help them out.
Outstanding. Let's use go, of Andy. Plethora, Eddie. I appreciate that. Before we get to the Preakness. I'll give you the floor on the Tampa Bay Lightning and their championship, hoisting the cup in the bubble in Edmonton and bringing it to a spot where, maybe the Rays or Bucks might be able to add to the run here. What did you make of that that championship?
Yeah, pretty amazing if you are a sports fan down in Tampa, considering what the Lightning were able to pull off, Rich. And we talked last year about the misstep that they had last year, where everybody thought that they would win the Stanley Cup, and they were the best team in the league, and they got swept in four games, and all hell broke loose. But they really changed the dynamic of their team. I think they understood what they needed to add, and they needed to add some grit. They needed to add some toughness. They had to get some experience. to do all that. And look, at they had to go play the team in round one of these playoffs that took them out last year. And everybody thought that Columbus was going to be able to do that. And they won in five games. You know, they took out Boston in five games. And then they worked themselves to Edmonton and went six games with the Islanders. So the road was not easy. They were challenged. They answered the bell, and they were a little healthier than Dallas. And look, at tip of the hockey helmet to the Dallas Stars. I mean, they made a hell of a run, and unfortunately for them, and it happens in all sports. It doesn't matter, but especially at the most crucial time, injuries play a part of it. And for Dallas, they were trying to play five card stud with three and a half cards, and they just came up a little short on that aspect. But Tampa deserved it, and John Cooper, the head coach, did a hell of a job. So it was fun to be a part of, and just an amazing job by the commissioner, Mr. Bettman, Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, and everybody involved to be able to pull it off. And a lot of people didn't think it could happen, and I think it's great for the game, and hopefully we'll have hockey sooner than later, and hopefully we can all get on the right side of this this pandemic and get back to whatever the new normal is going to be for all of us.
Yeah, and I want to bang the stick on the ice also, too, for our colleagues at NBC Sports and Sam Flood and everybody else that's been putting these games on, including you and that bubble. And you know, the NHL was, as I mentioned earlier in the league, the last ones to announce, you know, they were one of the first to announce who's in. Yeah. But they were one of the last to announce the where and the when, and they're the first ones in North American sports to complete a season and hand out the trophy. And that's just got to be...
That's a great point. Excuse me for interrupting, but that's a great point. I didn't want to not jump in there and then because I would forget that I wanted to make this point. You're right. I mean, the commissioner, the leadership that he had of being out front, when there was something to be said, he was there. When there wasn't, he went underground and stayed low and just... had a plan, right? And you're right. They came back. They were the first to announce it, but they waited because they had to be able to be flexible when it came to the virus. Like they wanted, you know, look, there's no doubt they wanted to have one of the bubbles in the States. There's no question they wanted to have one of the bubbles in the U.S., but it just wasn't the right thing to do. So they waited. They were able to go to Canada, do the deal with the government there, get everybody involved, go to Toronto, go to Edmonton, and to be able to pull this thing off. You're right. And I'm glad you mentioned, Sam, our boss, Sam Flood, our boss at NBC, and just the leadership and all the men and women that sacrificed a lot. And again, we understand what's going on in the real world. We had a job to do, and we were there to try to entertain not only the people so-called in front of the camera, but people behind the scenes to be able to make it work. And it was just, look, it was hard, but it beats the alternative, and it was a great experience. And hopefully it's, people enjoyed the broadcast and were entertained at least for a couple of hours each and every night, or on some of the days, Rich, when we had five hockey going on. You had hockey from noon Eastern until 2 in the morning. So it was a lot of fun and something. It's just an amazing feat. It really was. It was just amazing how it was pulled off on every aspect of it.
Eddie Olczyk here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to it now, Eddie. All right, let's make some hard-earned American dollars for people, or Canadian, depending on where you're betting. what do you see in the final jewel again of the Triple Crown Preakness Stakes, Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, from Pimlico in Maryland? What do you got for me?
I am all in on Art Collector, the three horse tomorrow in race 11 at Pimlico. He was my Derby horse, but unfortunately for Art Collector, he got a little banged up. He was unfit to perform in the Kentucky Derby. I'll use a phrase from the National Hockey League while being in the bubbles. He had a minor foot problem. He's been training like a monster since the foot injury. He is a perfect 4-for-4 Rich this year. And since going a route of ground, this race is 1 3/16 to Preakness. This horse going two turns on the dirt has just become an absolute monster. Now, all due respect to the team of Johnny Velasquez and Bob Baffert, who won the Kentucky Derby with Authentic, I think Art Collector is the horse to beat. I think you get every bit of 2-to-1 to 5-to-2, meaning if you bet 2, you win 5, so you put 7 in your pocket. I like that. I like how that sounds, so I'm going to be all in on the three-horse Art Collector. I think there's some fast pace in this race, and I'm hoping that Art Collector can be sitting maybe fourth or fifth as they make the first turn. and be able to mow them down the lane. So I'm going to be all in on the three horse Art Collector to win the Preakness tomorrow.
Which sounds great, and it sounds reasonable. But let's go unreasonable. Who wants to win $7, man? So what else? What else we got?
Well, what else are we doing? Hold on, Rich. Like I know how you roll, and I've talked to some people that you know.
Well, I want to let my beak roll here. What do we got?
If you just add a few zeros to that, if you bet 2,000 on it,
No, it's called moderation, Eddie. There's something called moderation. Come on, let's just bump it just to kick it up a notch. Who else are you playing with the three horse?
I'm going to use authentic. You have to use the favorite. There's no doubt. So I think if it comes in 3-9, I think if you make a $2 exacta, it's got to come in an exact order of 3-9. I think a $2 investment will turn into maybe like $11 or so. So if you bet 20, you win 110. If you bet 200, you get back 1100.
Okay.
So that's not a bad day's work there for a minute and 58 seconds. And also my long shot for the race tomorrow will be the 11 horse.
Yes.
Live Your Beast Life.
No
on
spaces.
The outside with Trevor McCarthy. Probably get every bit of 25-1 and hoping the 11 can hit the board. So 3-9-11 for yours truly. In the Preakness tomorrow from Baltimore, Richard.
All right. Art Collector, authentic, Live Your Beast Life, which is there's no spaces. It's just one long, big-ass name. All right. So then that's the way you're rolling. Okay. 3-9-11.
That's it. So the plan was Art Collector onto the Rams on Sunday.
Okay. Is that called a parlay? Is that what that is? I don't know. I'm an NFL employee.
A parlay and a half. Okay. Absolutely.
Thanks, Eddie. You take care of yourself.
Okay.
Let's chat again soon.
Thanks,
you too.
Richard.
It's Eddie O right here. There you go.
But the Rams in there. Interesting.
Well, I mean, the Giants.
13-point favorites, the Rams.
I'm just looking up here again. I got the channel mix here is DirecTV. I saw, again, Jets have 30% chance of getting the first overall selection. Giants, 27% of getting this first overall selection. The New York football teams have essentially cornered the friggin' market on getting the first overall pick in the draft.
Like the Dukes.
They're the Dukes. They are the Dukes.
Cornering the market.
I know that.
Randy Morte.
I know that. Begging to turn the machines back on. I have received the crop report. And the Jets better not let the Giants sneak in front of them. Could you imagine?
Yes.
The conversation. No.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Absolutely.
No, just imagine. The Giants out-tank the Jets, get Trevor Lawrence, and then you're sitting in the building their entire time. There's Trevor. Or vice versa.
I did throw that poll up on Twitter that you asked Brian Billick. Which QB would you build your team around, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence?
I'm sure Trevor Lawrence is winning that battle.
He's not, actually.
He's
not. Joe Burrow, 53-47 right now.
I like it.
Interesting.
Sometimes I'm not bad at this sports talk radio thing.
Did you see the Trevor Lawrence story that came out, I think, yesterday?
Which is what?
He was just basically saying how he was not a huge NFL fan growing up, and he kind of rooted for the Falcons. But
that's good.
He really wasn't.
I like it.
Which I thought
means
was pretty interesting.
It means, you know what it means? It means he should be a Jet.
Falcons should tank for Trevor
Lawrence.
That's
what it means. Yeah.
Trade Matt Ryan.
All right, let's go to some more phone calls right here. Who's been waiting the longest? That would be Randy in North Carolina. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on?
I'm doing good. I just want to put in a little comment to you, Rich. I just want to tell you I feel your pain. Let you know I'm a Miami Dolphin fan.
Okay.
And we had the Gase offense for 3 years down there. And I heard Troy make a comment last night saying how the Jets have a lot of third and long situations, and it's always sideline to sideline with him.
He kept on talking about there's a lot of horizontal passes, not enough vertical, and again, didn't work out for Tannehill there. Had to go somewhere else. Maybe that's right.
One other thing, Rich, you mentioned Bucky Dent. Just didn't know if you knew where he was from originally. Our alma mater high school is Hialeah, which is also Ted Hendricks, the Stork.
The Stork and Bucky Dent.
Yes, sir.
How about that?
Yes,
Thanks for the call, Randy. Appreciate that. And, also needed to go somewhere else. Kenyon Drake had to go somewhere else. Jarvis Landry had to go somewhere else. Yeah. The Jets invited him into their house. Mike in Jersey City, just down the road from MetLife. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing? Big fan, Rich.
Thanks, pal. What's on your mind?
You know, Gates, of course.
Okay.
Sure, I'm not the only perturbed fan here, but, you know, I just want to say, like, you know, I think before you were mentioning something, like, you said, okay, you feel for the guy and he should just tell the fans to, you know, screw you or whatever. But I guess I don't see how anyone, and I don't know if you were being sarcastic, I don't know how anyone could have any sympathy towards this man. If we're just looking at relevancy of last night, we take away what happened last night. The defense was undisciplined. The penalties were ridiculous, right? But if someone can look up for me, because I wouldn't know what these numbers are, but the probability of a team whose defense came away with three interceptions and of one being a pick six, what their win probability was, it'd have to be through the roof. It would have to be through the roof. 0-3 in the red zone, okay? And if it's not for Sam Ficken, we get blown out, basically.
No, I know that. You know what offsets three interceptions, three takeaways, is six personal foul penalties, six of them. That's what offsets it. As a matter of fact, you know, Quinnen Williams ripping by his face mask was the end of it. The Jets were about to get off the field. That was the end. That was all she wrote. Instead, they continue on down the field and get the field goal to go in front, which they would not have had that ability to do had the coach gone for it on fourth and short with his future Hall of Fame running back in Frank Gore, or just going ahead with his quarterback and sneaking it and keeping it going. They probably would have failed in the red zone anyway.
You have an out route into the end zone. Where's Perrine? Why are we drafting these players if we're not going to use them?
I don't know the answer to it. I wish I had the answer to it. Mike,
it's bad coaching all around, but I'm sorry. Gase needs to be fired, and Greg Williams is bad too. They all need to go, but we lose because the offense couldn't come away with one TD in the red zone.
Do you want to hug it out over the phone line here, Mike? Here's what we're going to do. This is what we do here, because again, we're already socially distant. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to outstretch my hands. I'm going to then, you know, ring them around as if we are hugging and then just give you a quick tap, tap on the back and then separate. Okay. Are we ready for that?
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah,
you do
I'm ready.
Here we go. I'm reaching around. There you go, Mike. Tap, tap. Okay. And that's it. Does that feel any better?
All right. Love you, Rich.
Right back at you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. There you have it.
Stay strong, brother.
Let's cleanse the palate of this Jets aftertaste. Let me go to a happier time for me. Happier time. For much of New York City. October 2nd, 1978.
Ooh, baby.
The Yankees are defending World Series champions. And they came back from many games back that year to tie the Boston Red Sox and force a game 163 in Fenway Park.
I can tell you exactly how many games.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was Mike Torres of the Boston Red Sox on the mound.
14.5 game deficit.
That's a large deficit.
That's a lot.
Bucky Dent at the plate. Mm. Bill White, who I grew up listening to along with Phil Rizzuto and Frank Messer calling Yankee games. Bill White with the call. Roll it, please.
Deep to left. Yastrzemski will not get it. It's a home run. A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bucky Dent has just hit his fifth home run of the year into the screen. And look at that Yankee bench, led by Bob Lemon. Big Cliff Johnson out there. And a happy Bucky Dent. Yankees now lead 3-2. Well, the last guy on the ball club you'd expect to hit a home run. Just hit one into the screen. Bucky Dent.
Look at that photograph that we had right there. Roy White and Chris Chambliss shaking Bucky Dent's hand. He put him up. Can you put that up one more time there? Because this is my favorite part of this photograph, if you don't mind putting that photograph up one more time, Don Bowie. Yeah. Take a look at it. That is Carlton Fisk eating a big poop sandwich, watching Bucky touch home plate.
These mother bleepers.
That's right. Sorry, Carlton.
Bucky Dent hit five home runs that year.
I hated Carlton Fisk with a hate of a thousand suns.
What a load of crap.
Oh, my word. Oh, yeah. That was a great day for me. I tweeted out earlier today that a 9-year-old version of me was bouncing off the walls in Staten Island, New York.
Are you watching the game?
Oh, of course I was. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think my dad, may he rest in peace, it's his birthday. And I begged my parents to let me stay home from Hebrew school. Begged them. And they relented. My dad wasn't a big sports fan, but he tuned in. Like I could tie this to the fact that this is my first birthday of my dad's since his passing, and tie this into just like I remember me and my dad were sitting on the couch. I was probably watching by myself because my Met fan brother was I don't think he could. I don't recall him sitting next to me, but it was a big day. It was my dad's birthday in the house. Yeah. I think I got out of Hebrew school and I watched that. But the first 7 innings was very difficult. But I tweeted out, there's a 9-year-old version of me happy. And then my Twitter timeline, go and everyone go at Rich Eisen and see the responses from the Red Sox fans talking about how, you know, I was a 10-year-old learning curse words that I didn't know existed from my dad, you know. And 13-year-old saying, you know. Fred Gadelli, who's the top-notch producer of Sunday Night Football, saying that a friend of his said that they were listening it on the radio crossing the Throgs Neck Bridge in New York City, wow. And that people were honking the horns and listening to it on the radio. Different time, different cities, great rivalry. And I just needed to cleanse the palate today.
It's funny, your mom actually emailed us a photo that she snapped of that day.
No, that's me on my bar mitzvah. That's a bar mitzvah photograph. So 4 years later, I said cheese here. But that's pretty much similar to the smile I had that day, man. Different times. I had a record, what's the big records are 78s, right?
Oh,
record player, I've had a big 78 record.
I've never heard of a 78, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, 45s of this, you know.
Yeah, 78 RPM.
78. Big one. Okay, yeah, okay. All right. Of the 77 Yankees season that they gave away at, you know, like the local Crazy Eddie or something like that. All right. And that I got. The front side was the Yankees 77 regular season, and the flip side was their playoff run that included 3 Reggie Jackson home runs. I wore the hell out of that in my room in advance of the 78 season. And then I was a diehard fan. That's why to this day, I know Reggie was 77, but 78 was about Bucky Dent and Ron Guidry. Oh, my gosh. I appreciate you letting me cleanse the jet palate.
Hey, no problem, man.
I appreciate that.
I wasn't a Sox fan yet. I wasn't born.
I know you weren't born yet.
But that's okay.
I got it. I feel better.
Good. That's great.
I do.
Going to the weekend strong.
Thank you very much.
Did I go higher register there?
No, you didn't. No, you meant it. You meant it. All right. Get your news update ready.
We got a lot of injuries.
There's a ton of stuff. DeAndre Hopkins is now iffy, huh? Hold on. Okay, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on that. And more on the Rich Eisen Show. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Again, the Preakness Stakes, Saturday, 4:30 Eastern time. You know what? We have probably made, on NBC, by the way, so we probably, in the 6 years that we've been on the air and we've had various handicappers, including Hank Goldberg on, we've probably made our most on Preakness because we've already gotten a race to figure out who's who and what's what,
right.
And it's the smallest field.
Right.
So for Eddie O to give us the two favorites to say, put them together and you can make yourself a nice little payday for, as he said, for less than 2 minutes' time. I don't want to say anything because there's no such, to use the, again, the phrase here from The Odd Couple, as Oscar Madison once told Felix Unger, who started catching the bug about betting on horses, which was a great, brilliant episode. I think Rings and Things was the name of the horse that they loved very much. Oscar Madison turned to Felix Unger and said, there's no such thing as a sure thing. And that's why they call it gambling. But Having said that,
we're going heavy on 3-9 exact box.
With a little bit of 11, a little taste? A little taste
and
of 11?
And then we'll do a little small try box with 11.
Okay. I think we've got a plan. And here should be your plan, in case you're wondering about keeping your eye on our show starting Monday. Hey there, everybody. Rich Eisen here on the set of The Rich Eisen Show with a friendly reminder that anybody who's been watching us on NBCSN, we thank you for that. But starting on Monday, October 5th, we are exclusively on our streaming home, Peacock, and PeacockTV.com. So here's what you need to do. If you're somebody who needs a little bit of a tutorial, we're here for you. We're going to walk you through the process. It's easy, it's quick, and the best part about it, it's free. So here's what you have to do. First things first, search www.peacocktv.com on your computer, or just download the app from the App Store on your smartphone, your tablet, your streaming device, your television, however you get your apps, you go find the Peacock app. Again, it's free. Once you get it, in the top right corner, click on the Sign In tab, and it's going to take you to the Sign In page. If you're new to Peacock, then click the Join for Free tab. You just then enter an email address and a password and click Create Account. Once you log in, on the top of the page, you'll find the Channels tab. Click on that and scroll down to the NBC Sports on Peacock channel, and that's how you'll find The Rich Eisen Show every day between 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And then when you want to find us when we're not on live, to watch us whenever you want on demand, you go to the top and you find the Sports tab, find The Rich Eisen Show page, then click on whichever show that you want to watch from our archives. There's also some clips and some highlights from every single day that sits on the Sports tab on the Peacock app every day. Just check us out. It's quick, it's easy, and that I mentioned, it's free. So there you have it. Quick tutorial. Once again, starting October 5th, anybody who's been watching us on NBCSN, you got to get the Peacock app. But the best part about it, again, it's free, and there's tons of other stuff other than The Rich Eisen Show. But most importantly, it's the home of The Rich Eisen Show on TV. Okay, so again, that's how you're going to start watching us. If you've been watching us on NBCSN, that's the spot starting Monday where we're on there. And I just do want to say this, and I know it's inside baseball, to use the phrase, when you start talking about, you know, media companies and executives and, you know, we, you know, we're here on the campus of AT&T and we love being here. We love this studio and we love still being on the campus here.
Absolutely.
This is our home and we love being in this home. But, you know, this show needed to find a new one in terms of being distributed. And I do want to just thank, and I know you run the risk of not mentioning people when you go down the list, but I do want to mention two people at NBC Sports in particular, John Miller and Michael Caine, who loved our show for a while, a long while, and wanted us to be in NBC Sports. And, you know, I wanted to be there too, and it all worked out. As you know, we were on there for a nice 10-week run in the spring, and then we took a hiatus, and now here we are back. You know, they were champions of ours in the building, and other executives have been as well. But I just wanted to give those two a shout-out and say thank you to everyone at NBC Sports who said, you know what, this is a good fit, and then put us on NBCSN and let us do our thing throughout the spring during the pandemic when there was no sports. I mean, my gosh, right? Oof. So at any rate, and now we're thrilled to be here on Peacock and being part of this family. Just wanted to say that.
You're here.
So
thank you.
On behalf of everybody here, thank you. And again, to those executives that are out there at NBC Sports, if you know anybody who can help me fix my glasses that I broke during the Brent Musburger interview, I know I'm probably going, they're probably at like 40,000 feet, and this is more of like a 10-foot problem.
Yep.
But anybody.
Well, just send you a box of 10.
Do you have anyone from Warby Parker watching the show?
Okay. Send me. Okay.
Shout out.
Are you ready for your news update, Christopher?
Yeah, there's a lot of injury.
All right, let's get to it. Chris Brockman's news update here on a busy Friday.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Okay, let's start with your quarterback from last night. He had Ian Rappaport saying that Adam Gase just told reporters Sam Darnold could miss some time with a shoulder sprain that he ended up playing through. Anything's on the table, quote unquote. Darnold's been getting tests all day today.
Okay. And you know I really love the kid, and
yeah.
I'm so sorry that this is the way his career has gone since being drafted by the Jets, and he deserves so much better than what he has endured. I want to say again, the way that he conducts himself is dream come true fantasy. I mean, for any team that dream come true, face of a franchise behavior, the kid signed with the Jets and went to a children's hospital. That's all you need to know about his character and why you want him face front. But in terms of, as Daniel Jeremiah said at the very beginning of the show, if you have an A-minus or a B-plus at quarterback and you potentially can get an A-plus, you've got to go in that direction and sit the kid. He deserves to take a break. He's broken. Body is not together. Put in Flacco. Put in whoever you want. Keep losing games. The next games, I know that sounds terrible, but it's true. Next Jets games are home for Arizona, at the Chargers, Buffalo, at Kansas City, and then New England with the home and home with the Dolphins surrounding the bye. Honestly, it doesn't do you any good to win football games. These are professional men at coaching and whatever, and it's awful to say such things into a microphone. I know it. I'm speaking purely as a fan now.
You mentioned the Chargers. They've officially ruled out Tyrod Taylor, so that was expected. So it's going to be Justin Herbert again. Officially now, it will be the youngest quarterback versus the oldest quarterback, or the youngest discrepancy, 21 years. Tom Brady, 43. Justin Herbert, 22.
Wow. You could actually put someone of legal drinking age in between the disparity of the two starting quarterbacks for Chargers at Bucks this weekend.
Wow. Crazy.
21-year difference between starting quarterbacks. That is a rarity. Wow.
All right. All the injury updates. Here we go. Terry McLaurin, Washington wide receiver, he is questionable. Mike Williams did not practice today for the Chargers with a hamstring. Leonard Fournette and Chris Godwin are out for the Bucks against the Chargers. Seahawks Pete Carroll said that Chris Carson had a, quote, excellent week of practice.
Okay.
So he is going to go against Miami. Bill O'Brien said he expects Will Fuller to play this week. That's good news. Here we go, Rich. DeAndre Hopkins. GM Steve Keim said that DeAndre is going to make the ultimate decision if he plays this week, meaning that this ankle injury, it's going to be how much pain he can handle. That's going to be a game-time decision for DeAndre Hopkins. Sean McVay said that Cam Akers would be surprised if Cam Akers plays this week, so he's probably out. Doug Marrone said he's comfortable with DJ Chark playing this week. DJ's dealing with a chest injury. Ian Rappaport said Julio Jones should play this week after he sat out last week with a hamstring injury. Was limited, got a walkthrough yesterday, but trending in the right direction. Michael Thomas isn't a lock to return, so keep an eye on him.
Is not a lock.
Not a lock, so keep an eye on his ankle throughout the weekend. Devontae Adams got a practice in today in pads, so trending in the right direction for him. Also, you saw Noah Fant last night get carted off.
Yes.
His ankle injury considered minor, so not possibly won't miss any time there. Three key defensive injuries, Chase Young for Washington, out. Geno Atkins for Cincinnati, out. Jamal Adams for Seattle, out.
That's a comprehensive medical report, sir.
Jeez. A lot going on.
We should have paged Dr. Brockman.
Maybe we should have.
Paging Dr. Brockman.
All right, in case you missed it from the top of the show, Steelers-Titans originally scheduled for this week.
Yes.
Is now October 25th. That's week 7.
Yeah.
Steelers-Ravens, that was week 7, is going to move to week 8. Baltimore now has its bye week 7.
And obviously the Steelers and Titans have their byes right now.
Let's hear from Kyrie Irving real quick, guys. Oh, so we heard
yeah,
those.
Your favorite.
So we saw, this guy. So we saw those quotes yesterday that he said on a podcast about.
Yeah, I think it was the Durant, et cetera's podcast that Durant is
about
doing, right?
Now he's finally has a teammate he's comfortable with, you know, taking the final shot, saying that's that mother bleeper, he said. He responded.
Because obviously people are like, you did play with LeBron James.
Yeah, you played with LeBron James. So right. A lot of people thought he was taking a shot. So uh-huh. Here's what Kyrie said to clarify.
Why must it always be brother against brother? Why? If I'm addressing anyone, I'll say their name. Come on, y'all. Don't listen to the false narratives. Let people live their lives. It's just a game.
Yeah. Wow.
Sure, buddy.
Okay. So, I don't understand that. So, if he was denigrating LeBron's, if he was now more comfortable than ever before, mm-hmm. or for the first time in his career, he's now comfortable. And we're infer, like, could you get the exact quote here? Because,
sure.
You know. We inferred that he said he's always been uncomfortable with somebody else taking the final shot as opposed to him. That he's now comfortable deferring in a final shot situation for the first time in his career. And then
this is the first time in my career that I can look down and be like, that mother bleeper can make that shot too.
Right, right. Meaning everybody else who he's ever played with, he was not comfortable in that situation.
Yes.
Because
taking a big shot,
he was
shot,
so confident in his own abilities that everybody else's abilities to make the shot paled in comparison. Mm-hmm. Correct? Like that is so for him to say now that he would mention people by name, that makes no sense because he literally would be spending however long it takes to name every teammate he's ever had, which is a shorthand way of saying this is the first time in my career I can look down and be like that MF-er can make that shot too. So of course we're all going to sit here and go, well, let's take stock as to who Kyrie Irving has played with. Mm-hmm. It's a long list enough, one would think, based on his stellar career, right? That you could place one name next to another and it would reach around the world and come back.
Nice.
Iman Shumpert?
You know what I mean? Like, of course we're going to take it this way. Of course he's got to know it.
He forced a trade. He didn't want to play LeBron anymore.
No, I know that, but they did make up. Like, he did say from Boston, right? He did say at one point, he didn't throw enough rose petals at LeBron's feet, right? Didn't he say he reached out to him for advice?
Yeah.
Right, so... Of course, we're going to sit here and think that they're not fine anymore, and that's okay. But his response doesn't really clear anything up.
No.
I don't think. If it matters. I don't know if it matters.
I think people are starting to just see a Kyrie Irving quote and just go, this
guy. Well,
I mean,
you certainly, people in Boston are so patently disappointed that he's like, okay, I'm going to get my own situation. I'm going to be that guy, and turned out to be the exact opposite.
Exactly.
And you know, my two cents again. The Nets are perfectly positioned to take over that city Every single Knick fan that I talk to, a celebrity Knick fan that comes on here, says, I'm not going to Brooklyn. But guess what? When fans are allowed back in an arena and this pandemic, this awful pandemic is finally going to be over and we're going to start going to basketball games again, what are you going to choose? Do you want to see Durant and Kyrie and the rest of that team in that beautiful building?
With head coach Steve Nash.
Right, take on when the Warriors are in town. What are you going to do? You want to see them? When the Warriors come into New York City, when the Warriors come in with Steph and Clay and Draymond and
Giannis.
In Giannis, right? Or LaMelo Ball, right? When they come in with Giannis and those guys, and they come into New York City, do you want to see the Warriors take on Durant and Kyrie or whatever the hell that schmohawk on 33rd Street is selling and peeing on your head and telling you it's raining? Is that what you're going to do? The only way that you would let the schmohawk actually keep his audience that all he's trying to do is alienate, from Spike Lee to the guy that they have Kevin kick out, the only way you let that guy win is if you tear apart the stuff with the coach. You know, we're all one big collective coach and all that sort. I would just say, let's just play basketball and go win some basketball games, because the city's there for the taking. It's right there. It's so right there. It's the Nets' time. And I've never said those words in the same way that I said it's the Clippers' time here. Obviously, a large part of me was saying that's not. I mean, it's so not even close.
You were off on that one.
Well, the Knicks aren't even remotely. I mean, the only way that you can make the comparison between the Knicks and the Lakers is that they've been the only game in town. There's only two banners in Madison Square Garden with right. The Knicks' name on it. The other ones have
Liberty.
The Liberty and Billy Joel. Yeah,
Islanders.
Right. Yeah. No, the Islanders don't play there.
They don't?
No, they don't. They do not. No, you know what I mean? So,
my bad.
You've got it right there. You got it right there.
Okay, so with Doc Rivers now out of the running, of course, scooped up by Philadelphia, reported 5-year deal yesterday. Sham saying that Clippers
great.
Assistant Ty Lue meeting with the Pelicans today.
Oh.
I don't know. The Clippers better wrap him up. That's what I think they probably want.
Does much change though if you get Ty Lue, who's already on?
I don't know. What does Kawhi want? What really? Because he could just leave.
He hasn't returned any of my texts lately.
Okay, very good.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. So when we come back, sneaky good games. I've got three games that are underneath the radar screen that I think that are particularly of interest in week number four. Tons of great storylines. I've also got my upset of the week.
Ooh.
My upset unlockiest lock of the week, and your phone calls at a final segment on a quadcast. NBC Sports on Peacock is going to be our exclusive home for the Rich Eisen Show starting Monday at noon Eastern time, right in the middle of the day. After Dan Patrick, before Brother from Another, wrapped in the Florio, what is it? Flauta.
Flauta. Flauta.
Now, more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. Because they know that where you shop matters, Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, official partner of the NFL. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. Preakness Stakes, I know what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm going to be sitting down Saturday, 4:30 Eastern time. I'm rooting for that 3-9, right? Exacta coming in.
3-9 exacta.
And once again,
in the 11.
Once again, I'm going to tell my kids that if one horse comes in, they get a certain amount on their favorite video game and their Robux, it's called. Robux.
Nice.
Right? And then if the 3-9 hits, then the second amount. And then if the 3-9-11 hits, then it's Robux for everybody.
Ice cream time.
And this is why, once again, for now that it's the early parts of October, once again, it is why I am best dad ever now 5 months running. Just pointing it all out. Back on NBCSN, our home since the spring, and again starting on Monday, Peacock only, folks. So get that that Peacock app, please, and it's very simple to sign up. I hit the Twitter machine during the commercial break, and I saw Howard Beck, you know, our friend from Bleacher Report,
yeah,
announcing that the Chuck Daly Lifetime Achievement Award from the NBA Coaches Association has just been awarded to Del Harris. And they showed a picture. It does not look like he's aged a day since that star turn of his on in Space Jam. He looks great, man. So congrats to him. All that news. All right. So let's just take a phone call, and then we're going to get to your sneaky good games. I'll talk about the three games that I'm interested in and then give you an unlockiest lock of the week. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Let's go. Do that. Okay. Let's go to Frank in Los Angeles. What's up, Frank?
Oh, thanks, Rich. A quick Bill Knack story. Bill Knack, maybe the greatest sports writer of my time. He was a beat writer for the Yankees in the 70s when I befriended him. I was a bartender in a popular restaurant in his hometown of Huntington. And many times after home Yankee games and after he wrote his article for Newsday, he would come to my bar and we would talk, mostly horses because he loved horse racing first. But I always sensed that he didn't like being a writer for the Yankees. And I said, Bill, what is it? Why do you hate the job so much? He goes, Frank, first off, let me explain to you, the worst human being I ever met was Billy Martin. He was rude, he was mean, and he was a drunk. He goes, that Yankee clubhouse is a snake pit. He goes, Reggie would have his small entourage, and he would sometimes bring strangers into the clubhouse. Nettles, Munson would go crazy. He said, the most amazing thing about those Yankees, they were probably the most dysfunctional team of all time, and they went to three World Series in a row.
And the owner would pour gasoline on the fire every single opportunity. The owner
there you
would,
go. Yeah. There you go. The biggest meddler owner of all time. He actually thought and said it to Bill. There's no reason why the Yankees can't go 162-0.
You imagine? I mean, unbelievable. Thanks for the call, Frank, and those memories. Appreciate you passing that along. We had that conversation with Jeff Perlman, the author of the book on the Kobe Shaq Phil dynastic stretch, about team chemistry, and he said it's overrated.
Overrated.
I mean, I read those Yankee books, the Bronx Zoo. You know, I think if I'm not mistaken, Greg Nettles wrote a book called, it was entitled Balls. I would read it, and I'm like, you know, as an 8, 9, 10 year old, some of the worst clubhouse stories you can possibly hear from that clubhouse. Boy, do they win baseball games.
Is it overrated?
I guess it is, isn't it?
The only
chemistry?
Thing, the only thing pH balanced in those clubhouses was the shampoo.
Nice.
Apparently.
Well done, everybody. TJ Jefferson. All right, you ready for your sneaky good games
with
Chris Brockman? Let's go hear sneaky good games from Chris Brockman, and then I will do my my three favorite games of the week under
about.
The radar screen. Okay, here's my here's your sneaky good games. Go for it.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, Christopher, let's
all right, so we're still slightly better than a coin flip, but looking to bounce back this week. Here we go. I'm looking at two totals and one outright. Dolphins, Seahawks, we're going over, guys. Over 53.5. Total's gone over in four of Seattle's last five games. Over in seven of last eight Seattle's played against the AFC East. Over in five straight for Miami at home. Seahawks giving up the most passing yards through 3 weeks. I like a lot of points in this one. Vikings, Texans, I'm going over as well. Two 0-for teams, but have given up a ton of points defensively. Vikings giving up 102 in three games. Texans giving up 95 in three games. Will Fuller's back for Houston. A lot of points in this one as well. And I'm going, with all due respect to Brent Musburger, I like the Bills big in Las Vegas. -3.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas 0-5-1 in the last six games against the AFC East.
All right. Those are your three games for Sneaky Good Games. As you know, I am an NFL employee, and thus when you talk about minus, overs, unders, and all that sort of stuff, I turn into the unfrozen caveman lawyer. I don't – your gambling terms, is that what there are.
Confuse you.
Totally confuse me. So I just give you three games from a storyline perspective that that's under the radar for each week, and that's how I bring you my two cents on Fridays in that regard. And here are my three games that are under the radar for week number four, and I think not enough people are talking about these games. If you have them right there, Don, I'll take them. Oh, no, it's, I don't need to drop. I just need to see the three games on the screen right here. One of them is, in fact, a game you just mentioned with the Bills and the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a game that I have in the late window because the Bills at 3-0, if they can go 4-0, I do believe that the Patriots are going to probably wind up losing in Kansas City. That would be 2-2. That would give them a nice cushion. The Raiders need to stay within hailing distance of the Chiefs. That is a win that I think both teams truly need that's out there on that field. And Josh Allen coming with this offense against a Raiders defense that was very forgiving on the run throughout this entire year is a big one. Two early games that not enough people are talking about. The Cardinals, certainly without DeAndre Hopkins, if they lose two in a row to the Lions and then to the Carolina Panthers, then all of a sudden what's going on right there, they could lose hailing distance of the Seattle Seahawks fast in a very competitive division. And I would think it would be disappointing for a team that won in San Francisco to start and then started 2-0 to wind up the first quarter of the season at 500. I think it would be disappointing. And Carolina has the ability to go finish the first quarter of the season at 2-2, winning the first two games without McCaffrey for Matt Rhule. That would be a very big game. And to bag a big game quarterback that Kyler Murray is appearing to be would also be significant. DeAndre Hopkins' injury is something to keep an eye on right there.
Scary.
And then I want to linger a bit on that 1 o'clock game at the top of your screen.
Let's do it.
The Lions truly put the bang thing on Arizona last week. I know it was a tight game. It was a close game that they had to pull out. But they really put it on Kyler Murray. And they also could not the Cardinals could not get their defense off the field. You know, Galladay, his return made the Lions look really good. And you've got Adrian Peterson coming along. And the Saints, this is one of those games, too, where the Saints, you think they're going to win. Oh, that's they're going to Detroit. Everything will be fine and hunky-dory. And they get tripped up. And I'm putting that all together, and the Saints need this one. They need to go. I mean, if they go 1-3 and Brady wins at home against Justin Herbert, that's two games behind. Well, 1.5, because they already have that one win is against the Bucs in their back pocket. Boy, do they need that. And the Lions, if they can come back from losing that huge lead to the Bears in week one and getting blown out in week two and then finish up the first quarter of the season at 2-2, that's a significant game. Now then, while we're on the subject of one of those games, here's the unluckiest lock of the week here on the show.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide open. The unluckiest lock of the week.
Thank you very much. I'm hooked on a feeling. Week one, I said that the Denver would beat Tennessee. Came so close.
Jacksonville
beat Tennessee would be week two. I came close basically the first couple weeks. No, I said Cincinnati was going to beat the Chargers. That's what it was. Right. And then last week I thought the Washington football team would beat Cleveland. Looked great until Dwayne Haskins started throwing the ball to the team in Ohio like he thought he was still in college. So
you're 0-3.
I'm 0-3. I'm close. I'm sniffing around it. I'm going to take the Lions in this one. I think the Lions are going to surprise the Saints and leave the Saints. Certainly if Michael Thomas is not there, I was leaning for the Dolphins versus Seattle, but I certainly with Jamal Adams not appearing in the way that the Dolphins play, but I think what I saw from the Lions last week is enough to make me go in this direction.
I like it.
Now that said, when Brent Musburger joined me and us in hour number two, he said something about, what did he say about the Saints?
He said the Saints are Mr. October. In the last 4 years, they're 15-1 in October. against the spread and outright.
Now, this is they're favored, right?
They're favored.
There's a minus next to their number.
They're favored. More than a field goal.
All right. So I'm saying there's a chance. Again, which is what the unluckiest lock of the week is.
You're going
all
against the trend, you're going against the number, but I like the moxie.
I just really liked what the Lions did Arizona last week.
Galladay being back is huge for that offense. Changes them.
What's with DeAndre Swift? Is he getting the red shirt season that running backs usually get from Belichick? Seems is that what like he's getting it. Right now?
He's definitely getting benched. He's third string right now. It's weird.
I want to thank Daniel Jeremiah, Brent Musburger, Brian Billick, and Eddie Olchuk, and you. And again, to everybody at NBCSN, helped this show stay alive and lead us to Peacock. I want to thank every single executive that's believed in us right there and is going to keep watching us every single day with NBC Sports on Peacock. That's exactly where you're going to be able to find us on Monday, everybody. We will see you. Have a great sports weekend. The Preakness, NFL, NBA, and more.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who? Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.